Thank you, Steve Brown. Good afternoon, good morning, wherever you are. I'm Christopher Purdy. Welcome to All Sides Weekend. Today, we're going to talk about the arts and entertainment in Central Ohio. There are three people who are perfect for this, and they're all here in the studio with me. Janet Chen is Executive Director of Columbus's Pro Musica Chamber Orchestra. Tim Sarsony is Music Director of the Columbus Gay Men's Chorus. And Peggy Criadai is a director for Opera Columbus and a soprano who has this week a rave review of her singing in the current Opera News magazine. Congratulations to you. And welcome as your debut with us today, right?
That's right.
One of the themes I want to talk about in today's program is collaboration, how arts entities in the area are all working together, and all of you are involved with that. I think Pro Musica probably invented that as far as as far as Columbus is concerned. But I want to start with Peggy Dye because you're new with us. I want you to introduce yourself and the reconstituted Opera Columbus.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm director of artistic and educational programming for Opera Columbus. I'm new since November, and I'm part of the effort to rejuvenate opera in Columbus. And one of the ways we're doing that is with this collaboration with Shadowbox Live with our Opera Cabaret series. And this is not uncommon. It's happening throughout the U.S. because, as you know, opera companies are fading away. And we need to invent new ways to get the audience into the theater. And this collaboration will do that.
No, no. Fat people yelling at each other. Come on. In a foreign language. Why do I care?
Chris, you know better than that. That's hardly the face of opera today. Today, we are on video, we're on TV. We need to look like movie stars. That's the expectation today. And the young singers that are coming up are in Columbus. I found some amazing young singers. They're worth checking out, and they're beautiful to look at. So come down to Shadowbox. That's where you're going to see them.
How does Shadowbox fit in with this? Steve Geyer has been a guest here. Mm-hmm. He's a great guest. Shadowbox mm-hmm. is a wonderful. It's a lot of fun to go there. How do they fit in with Opera Columbus?
Shadowbox Live has the audience that maybe typically wouldn't buy a ticket to the opera.
Okay, that you want them.
I want them. I want them to taste what we do. And maybe the barrier of buying a ticket is preventing them. So we're offering it free in their bar so you can come have a drink. It's opera in an hour, and it's in English. So we've tried to take away all the barriers that would maybe be distasteful to someone who doesn't really hasn't experienced opera before.
Okay, it's in English. You got booze. And pretty people.
That's right. What, why wouldn't you come?
And it's free. 1 hour.
And it's free.
Does she still die?
Yes, I'm afraid so.
This is La Bohème of Puccini, right?
Yeah, it's tragic at the end.
We're going to come back and talk a little bit more about this collaboration as we go over to Janet Chen, who's just come off a successful series of summer concerts, which was new for Pro Musica.
Yes, we were really, really thrilled for the opportunity. Due to the generous funding of PNC Arts Alive, we were able to do three free summer concerts in collaboration and partnership with Franklin Park Conservatory. They've been a wonderful partner to the organization in many ways. And, you know, a couple years ago, we sat down with Bruce Harkey and his team and just brainstormed some ideas. And we thought, this is just such a stunning venue, and why not take advantage of their offerings and marry it with a free concert? So it was in July and August, and we were just so excited. One, we had great weather. You know, that's always a benefit. but most importantly, by the third concert, we had seen our audiences increase. We feel that we know that we've reached over 3,500 people throughout the course of the three concerts, which was fabulous. And we did a survey, and from those numbers, we understand that 49% of the attendees had never been to a Pro Musica event before, which was great. So
you want that feedback.
We want that feedback, and it's important to us. It's important to us to expose both Pro Musica and Franklin Park to the greater community, and we had a great time doing it. So
now, did you bring the entire orchestra or chamber groups, or how did that work out?
We did. The first concert was basically the full orchestra, and then the second and third one, we had a string ensemble, and then we featured our own musicians, actually, in concerto capacity. also another way to highlight kind of the talent within the organization. And Tim Russell conducted, and it was an hour. And again, similar to what Peggy was saying, trying to keep it accessible, there was a lot of talking between pieces, introducing what we were performing to audiences. And that was another really positive comment from folks, that they enjoyed kind of hearing about, you know, what they were listening to. And we also tried to marry themes that fit within the nature, beautiful environment scope of Franklin Park. So we had a great time.
That's definitely a way to go. You also have some exciting news about two new additions to your family, the Pro Musica family.
We do. We do. We just recently announced in June the conclusion of our music director search. Our co-founder and current music director, Tim Russell, will be stepping down after this year. And you know, he's been with us for 34 years, which is amazing. So we knew we had huge, huge shoes to fill. But after a 2-year search, we announced an Austrian conductor. His name is David Dansmeier. And he has recently done a stint with the Royal Scottish National Orchestra for 3 years. And so he currently resides in Salzburg, but the intent when he begins in the 13-14 season is for him to move to the U.S. He also recently won a job with the Illinois Phil. So there's a lot of benefits, obviously, with having him here. Just such a great guy. We obviously polled our musicians throughout the search. And at the end of the day, 99% of the musicians said hire him. So
well,
we had great consensus.
What does somebody have to have to be hired? Because I know you saw a lot of people. You brought them here. Everybody got a chance to conduct in public and meet the audience and, more importantly, the artists.
Yep.
What was the deciding factor for this guy?
Well, the main thing, obviously, was the chemistry. And I can share a quick story. There was some flight issues when he flew in for his quote-unquote audition in February. He landed at the airport at 6:30 p.m. I picked him up, and we went straight to the Southern. He changed his T-shirt. This is after a 19-hour flight from Austria. And by 7:30, he was conducting the orchestra. And within 10 minutes, you could hear a difference. So that was really quite stunning, I think, for the committee to see and for the musicians to be able to respond to that, you know, in such a short period of time. So that was important. And obviously his commitment to commissions, which has kind of been our tradition for 30 plus years. He's very committed to that. And just kind of the big vision that he has for the orchestra. And he knows he can't do it right away, so we're looking forward to that journey with him.
So he's all about long-range planning.
Which is great.
And when will we see him again?
Well, he's actually coming in January and February of this season as designate. So it's an opportunity for us to get him acclimated, get him embedded in the community. So, you know, we'd love to bring him to WSU in January and February, which would be great.
He'll be a second home for him here.
It will.
I promise you
yes.
that.
Yes, yeah.
Now, Tim Sarsony, people would look at you and I, even on radio, but people would look at the two of us, and the term ballet would not be the first thing that people would think about. However, you and the Columbus Gay Men's Chorus are members of it. The Vox segment, which you'll tell us what that is in a minute,
sure.
are in the midst of a collaboration with Ballet Met. How is this? What? Tell us about that.
Well, went over to Ballet Met about a year ago and said, we need to do something together. What can we do together? And we came up with this. So they're doing this program called An American Songbook. We're right in the middle of it. Yeah, it was started out as 9 performances, 3 last weekend, 3 this weekend, and 3 next weekend. But it's been such widely, you know, received that we had to add 2.
Add 2 performances. So you can't get into it. You can now, sort of, if you hurry up.
Yeah. And they're in the matinees next Saturday, next Sunday. So we're doing 11. There are 3 pieces on the program. The first is a set of pieces about, to the music of Patsy Cline. Just really charming, great
stuff. It's
not
great. It's great.
Our guys, our Vox ensemble.
You don't love me.
Hey, you're hired. Right, yes. You should come sing. The second one is where our Vox guys are singing. Vox is the small auditioned ensemble within the chorus, generally about 18 members, and we have 13 guys spreading over 3 weekends. We're doing music of the 30s and 40s, so Cole Porter and Duke Ellington, great stuff, Ella Fitzgerald. And then the last one is Simply Sammy, which is a set of pieces on with recordings of Sammy Davis at the, you know, in Las Vegas. Just great stuff.
What could be smoother?
It's great. And it's just wonderful just to collaborate with these fine people. And then what we're going to do next year is they're going to collaborate on this program with
Where is this being performed?
It's at the Ballet Met Performance Space. So it's behind their main building on Mount Vernon Avenue.
Mount Vernon Avenue.
Right.
I know the answer. I was just making
you to Thank you. Thank you.
Ample free parking.
Yeah, there is. Yes. Absolutely.
But off street free parking, ample free parking. But tell me, the space designed for dance, where are the guys? Where are your 18 guys?
We're actually on the set with them. Stella Kane, who did choreography for us, she said, I don't want the guys on the sides or in the back. They need to be part of the scene. So it's like we're part of, the crowd in the dinner club. So and for our guys, the staging is no big deal because we do a big staging show, show at the end of the year.
So that's a collaboration ongoing with Ballet Met and the Columbus Gay Men's Chorus, of which Tim Sarsony is music director. You're in your third season there. Have you made any changes since you began? Or have things changed a lot or
Well, I
a
just
little?
Wanted to get the guys out more and just especially collaborations. Get more people that don't see us to see us. Jen was talking about how many people you get, who are new, or how many people get to see this summer. Yeah. We're going to have 2,500 people come and see us in the next 3 weeks.
That's
astounding. I think we're just starting to get more audience. We're talking about having to add, next season we're going to have to add some matinees because we're running out of seats.
Now you have a couple of different venues where you perform. I know you were at the Lincoln Theater.
Yeah.
You have something coming up at King Avenue Methodist Church. Is that right?
That's our Joy to the World, our holiday program.
Right. So how do you choose where you perform? Do you specifically look at different locations around the city?
We're still looking just to keep, to forward thinking, if we start to max out of where we are. King Avenue is it's a wonderful church. They're a very affirming church as well.
Great acoustics.
For GLBT. Great acoustics as well. And we love being there. It's like going home every Christmas.
One thing I want to ask you before we take a quick break is Columbus Commons is new. They had a lot of use last summer with the Columbus Symphony Pops, and there's a lot of theater there. Has that availability or that presence changed the scene a little bit? I mean, are you interested? Are you hungry for that or what?
I told the guys in a couple of years I'd like to be honest.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Even if like Picnic at the Pops or something we could sing.
Because Picnic at the Pops is great, but that's only one part of it. It's still in use. There's stuff there this weekend. So
I mean, we always keep an open mind, if there's an opportunity and if it makes sense for the organization to explore it, then definitely we're always up to looking into it. I know the Scioto Mile, I think there's an amphitheater there too. So
right,
when
by COSI
and we had talked a little bit about that as we were looking for a potential summer home. So we're definitely looking for continued ways to be out.
Well, I mean, it's a new venue for us in the city, and why not take advantage? Yeah. If you'd like to join our conversation about the arts in Central Ohio, 292-8513. You can also send an email to us at allsides@wosu.org or find us on Facebook. The number again, that's 614-292-8513. Let's hear from you in about 58 seconds because we're about to take a break.
This week on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, we review the new J.K. Rowling book. If you thought the Harry Potter books had too much magic, wizards, and childlike wonderment, then this is the book for you. I'm Peter Gross, filling in for Peter Sagal, and I promise to do a better job than the NFL replacement refs. This week on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, the news quiz from NPR.
Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, tomorrow morning at 11 on 89.7 NPR News. 60 degrees with partly cloudy skies, reaching a high of 70 today. A few clouds tonight, a low of 47. Mostly sunny and a high of 70 for Saturday. Support for 89.7 comes from Green Bean Delivery, offering home delivery of fresh organic produce and natural groceries, striving to make healthy eating more accessible to the communities of Greater Columbus. Details on Green Bean Delivery's products, as well as how to place an order, can be found online at greenbeandelivery.com. And All Sides Weekend continues on 89.7 NPR News.
Thank you, Amy Jurevich. I'm Christopher Purdy with Janet Chen, who is the executive director of Pro Musica Chamber Orchestra. Tim Sarsony is music director and conductor of the Columbus Gay Men's Chorus. And Peggy Kriadai has a long title with Opera Columbus, but she's the go-to person for Opera Columbus. She's also a very fine singer herself. We are talking about the arts and culture in Central Ohio or worldwide. You can call us and join the conversation at 614-292-8515. Or send us an email at allsides@wosu.org. Now, if you work for an arts organization, then you've been up and you've been down and you've been up again. And all three of you have had that experience in your careers, I'm sure, because everybody has. Peggy Dye, you're new to Opera Columbus. They've had good times. They've had bad times. They've had some very good times. Then they had some really bad times. Now they're back in a new sort of fashion. Bring us up to speed with today's Opera Columbus.
Okay. We are under the umbrella of CAPA. We've collaborated with CAPA, Columbus Association for the Performing Arts. And it makes so much sense. We're in the Ohio Theater, our offices, and we get to use all their resources in marketing, development, press, everything. So we have the luxury of going upstairs and being able to communicate and use the resources that are so well established there. So that's helping to propel the opera forward. We don't have one person having to have 10 talents. We have a building of talent that we have at our fingertips. And the symphony's in the building as well. So I can go talk to the general director there, and we can talk about a show that we want to do together. And it just makes everything so much easier and the level of excellence so much higher.
The Columbus Symphony is in the pit for most of your presentations, not the Boehm, but the ones that are coming up, right?
That's correct, yes.
Well, you have the Magic Flute.
We have the Magic Flute.
Mozart.
That's right. It's a company coming in from Toronto, Opera Atelier. And, you know, the Queen of the Night, famous aria, she'll be floating in a machine. She's fantastic. She used to be a model. It's going to be stunning. It's worth seeing. It's in English. It's hilarious. And then we're also doing HMS Pinafore in June.
That's with the New York Gilbert and Sullivan Players?
That's correct.
Albert Bergeret,
yes,
right?
With our orchestra and our chorus.
When is the day going to come that we're going to have all local casting?
Well, the cabaret that we're doing this fall is all local casting. I currently held auditions and found some amazing local talent. We're looking at doing our own production next season, which will be cast with local talent.
And it's La Boheme in the cabaret.
That's
and
right.
Speaking of La Boheme, just to whet everybody's appetite, here's about 30 seconds of music from Puccini's La Boheme, which Opera Columbus is adapting for performances later in the fall. The word that he was singing at the end, Bevian, means let's drink,
that's
frankly.
That's correct. That's right.
There's a running theme here today.
Yes. Which is let's make the arts fun, which they are exactly. Anyway. Most that's of us right. Know they are fun already, but we want to kind of sell that. La Boheme is going to be at the Shadowbox Performance Space.
Sundays, starting October 14th at 5 p.m.
And it's free.
It is free
completely. Now, tell me about that. Free is free, huh?
It really is free.
What's behind
You'll have
that?
To buy your cocktail, but the entertainment is free.
That's fantastic.
Yeah. We just want to make it as easy as possible for people to have their little sampling of opera without any barriers.
It's in English?
It is in English. And it's a new libretto that Opera Columbus commissioned. And so it's a libretto that has references to Columbus in it. It's got references to things of modern day. So it's very present.
And speaking of opera, we have Christina on the phone from Clintonville. There's more opera in Columbus. And Christina's here to tell us about it. Hello, Christina.
Hi, Christopher. How are you?
Fine. Go ahead.
Well, I just wanted to tell you about another chance for Columbus audiences to hear opera. I'm with Opera Project Columbus. We're a new arts organization in town. And we are doing a program called An Evening with the Enies. It's going to be Rossini, Bellini, and Puccini, selections from their operas. It's going to be at the First Unitarian Universalist Church in Clintonville on Friday, October 19th. It's just one night only.
This is the second season of Opera Project Columbus. They did a very fine first season last year, so I'm delighted to know that you're back, also reconstituted, and you're in my neighborhood. So that's good.
Yeah.
Very good
yeah,
to know.
Yeah, we're really excited to be sort of more, for the show, be sort of centrally located. Again, there's ample parking, so we're hoping to get a lot of people coming out to this show.
And if you come to that, you're going to hear some wonderful young singers, most of whom live within I-270.
Yeah.
But they won't be here that much longer, probably. So come now and enjoy it. Christina, thank you very much for your call.
You're welcome.
Thank you. Our number is 292-8513. The email address is allsides@wosu.org. I want to play a little sample of the ProMusica Chamber Orchestra right now and then ask you, because this is a composer new to people, because you found him.
We did find him.
This is part of a processional? A fanfare by Conrad Tau. Not only is this composer young, he's alive. So, I mean, tell me about him. Tell me, why is a composer like that germane to ProMusica?
Well, throughout, you know, as we look to guest artists and we look to composers that we're interested in collaborating for commissions, obviously it's important to also think about how we're going to promote the young composers of today. Conrad Tau in particular, he first came to Columbus and performed with us when he was 14. And we actually commissioned him to write a piano concerto.
He was the baby-faced kid.
Gosh, I think it was 4 years ago now. So the first time he came, we commissioned him to write his own piano concerto because he's a pianist. Mm-hmm. And we premiered that. He was just so well received, such a delightful person and great talent. So we decided the following year for our 30th anniversary to ask him to write a piece for our 30th anniversary, which was what we just heard, the fanfare. So he came back, he's 15 by then.
That's so depressing.
I know. He couldn't drink, you know. Yeah. So he came and we did this fanfare, and also he performed the Sanson Piano Concerto No. 2 that year with us. So what we did, which is kind of true to ProMusica with all our commissions, is we actually had all of those three pieces recorded professionally. We just released the disc. I think one or two months ago.
The ink was wet.
Literally hot off the press. Yes. So we're really thrilled. Yeah. Conrad is now, I believe, 18.
And now he can drink.
Now he can't. Well, not yet.
He can drive.
But getting engagements everywhere. So we were really, really fortunate to get him at such an early age and to see his career build. I mean, when we first got him, I was negotiating with his mother.
Wow.
I mean, he didn't have an agent, and now he's with IMG. So it's just astounding to kind of be part of that progression.
There is music by a living composer on just about every program you do. Isn't that right?
Pretty much, yes. And this season in particular, we have two commissioned works and two world premieres. The first one will be opening night, which is October 14th. So go to see Opera Columbus at Shaw Box at 5 and then come to ProMusica at 7.
You can do that because it's 5 to 6.
It's true.
And you just walk. It's not even that much of a walk.
It's not even that far away.
That's right.
So
I'm going to do that, okay? And I want people to come with me.
Okay.
So that's... We're going to do that. Okay.
And groupies.
Yes.
So our concert's at 7, and we have commissioned a pianist, arranger, composer, Clarice Assad. She's Brazilian, pretty well known for her talents. But what we did was we asked her to write a piece for two guitars and chamber orchestra, which is not very common, not common repertoire. And the Assad brothers are going to premiere it, and that is her father and her uncle.
Oh. They've been here several times.
They
the two
have.
Brothers, the Brazilian guitar duo.
Guitar yes. duo, yeah. yes. So we're really excited. It's kind of a family affair, and the piece is actually based on her family album. You know, she comes from a very long generation of fantastic musicians. So it's really kind of about that family story. So we're really thrilled. And she says that her father and uncle like the piece. So I think
they're
in
not
going
to tell her they don't like it. Find out if they know what's good for them.
Yeah, so.
Hey, honey, I don't like your piece. You know.
So that's our first
that's
commission.
Wonderful.
Yeah. And then we have another one in April for Tim Russell's final subscription concert.
After 35 years founding and running the orchestra.
Yes.
And I know he's lived in Arizona for a number of years. He's got an important faculty position at Arizona State. So
yes.
he was commuting to
he
come
was
back
commuting,
here.
Yes. I mean, yeah. his parents still live here. And he'll be back after
yeah.
this season,
Good.
You know, so
Good.
He won't go far.
Our number is 292-8513. If you want to get in the conversation about the arts and culture in Central Ohio, our email address is allsides@wosu.org. You can also find us on Facebook. I'm Christopher Purdy. My guests are Janet Chen from ProMusica Chamber Orchestra, Tim Sarsony from the Columbus Gay Men's Chorus, and Peggy Criadi from Opera Columbus. Tim, let's talk about the Gay Men's Chorus a minute. Let's first of all hear them. I've got a little bit of selection from music of Randall Thompson, The Seven Last Words of David, conducted by Tim Sarsony with the Columbus Gay Men's Chorus. That sounds like a professional chorus to me.
Oh,
really,
that's
very fine. That's a wonderful blend there and some wonderful musicianship.
They're great to work with.
Tell me about the choruses. I understand that there's a whole national movement of gay men's choruses that began as a response to the AIDS crisis in the 80s.
Absolutely right.
I think New York was first. I'm
mm-hmm.
not sure.
Tell
me about the history of the chorus here. And are you more musical than political or more political than musical? How do you balance that?
It's a tricky balance. We try to be both. The chorus, we're in our 23rd season here now. It was started with David Price back in the day, and he's well known to the
sure.
your audience. So it was a blend of not only good quality choral literature, but also some political with some good messages, and then some fun things too. So choruses have been getting together for years to come together for a certain cause and to kind of voice themselves. All the way back, to Napoleon and the German choruses way back. So it's just a great way to get together, especially when you're singing together. There's a lot more resonance than what the sound you're making, and it just makes more of an impact.
How many members do you have now?
We just auditioned 18 new members this fall, which is terrific. So we're about 107 right now. Mm-hmm. So.
And what is the audition process?
It's pretty
informal,
actually. it is. We usually call it voice placing.
Mm-hmm.
I have them actually sing My Country 'Tis of Thee, which is a great
Peggy's,
song.
Because Peggy's really mean when you audition
no,
for her.
That's
oh, I
not
try
true.
To make it as painless because they come in, some people have this look on their face like, oh my God,
yeah.
this is going to scare me. I said, I try to put them at ease. So, I mean, it's an easy tune like that just to hear vocal range and quality. We do some vocalises to check range, and then I'll play some tonal patterns and have them sing them back to me. And even though this is my third year as artistic director, this is my 15th year with the chorus. I was mm-hmm. assistant conductor before that.
You also sang with them, didn't
yeah,
you?
Yeah, and I do a lot of the arranging and some of the writing. So
yeah, well, terrific. And so the next big thing is at King Avenue, the Joy concert.
Correct.
The holiday concert in December.
December 7th.
How many do you
9th.
Do a year? How many?
Well, we do. We actually have five on our season this year. Three with the main chorus, and then our small group Voxes, their own concert. And then our sacred group Illuminati does their own concert in May.
When you have an amateur in the best sense of the word, meaning for love, organization, concert, chorus, whatever, how do you get that polished, wonderful sound? Because you're probably not rehearsing every day.
No, we rehearse 3 hours a week.
And maybe not everybody can come to every rehearsal. So how do you get that kind of a polish?
Well, I just try to find ways to get them to don't know. They pretty much do it on their own. They're really there because they want to sing and they want to do the best they absolutely can. It's also a little different because of the mission of the chorus. You know, voices raised, lives changed. So that's always, I think, in our minds.
Say that slowly.
Voices raised, lives changed.
Okay, good.
So I think that that's always in their minds and they always want to do the absolute best they can. And I always tell them, you know, especially when we add the choreography, that's a little tricky. We put the vocal in and the choreography, the vocal takes a little backtrack and then comes back forward.
Is everything choreographed? We
do a big choreographed program in the spring or in June. This year it's Motown.
Oh, great.
Motown
and
our
town. We've got a crowd for that.
That's another PNC Arts Alive.
Great.
They're so great to donate that. And we're doing three performances of that. And actually the Sunday performance of that, we're actually going to invite some people from the community in. So part of our grant is to pay for some of the seats. That
terrific.
They're great. I mean, we've collaborated a number of times.
What was it? What's one or two? I know there's a couple.
And, what was the other? Strings Attached.
Strings Attached. Right. So at least in the last, 6-7 years, we've collaborated twice. Mm-hmm. One at the Southern Theater, and the PNC Arts Alive, the first year round of grants, they supported us and Gaiman's Chorus and Children's Choir at the Lincoln Theater for two nights. And that was
a lot
of
fun. Recorded that. That's right.
Yes, indeed.
And then a few years ago, we did Opera Columbus. We were the ghost chorus for the Flying Dutchman.
That's right. I remember that too.
We were talking
about
that earlier.
Yes.
Yeah, we'd love to have you.
We would love to have you.
I think the Shadowbox might be a kind of a venue for you as well. I mean, who knows? That could be. Tell me about a little bit about Shadowbox and Steve Guy, our Piggy, because he's great.
He really is great. And he's a breath of fresh air for opera, I must say. We just started staging rehearsals, and it's really fascinating to watch him and watch the reaction of the singers to him. Normally, in a staging rehearsal for opera, they have the opera score in front of them, and the music is what guides everything. Nothing wrong with that. However, Steve's approach, he has a script. He doesn't even have the notes in front of him. And the singers are then forced to rehearse it as a play. And very natural movements, not the traditional park and bark, which opera gets a bad reputation for sometimes. So, here they're walking around. They look like they're in a play, like you would see at Shadowbox, because that's what he knows and does best. And it's making the opera really come alive and interesting. And the story is what comes across.
Are you, as a seasoned professional who's probably sung La Boheme as Puccini wrote it, learning things about the piece you didn't know before?
It was my professional debut in San Francisco. This opera, so it's very dear to my heart. I'm learning a lot. I'm learning that, I've taken it way too seriously, and it's supposed to be entertainment. And the music, yes, to learn the music and be able to sing it properly is very serious business, but the end product should be entertainment.
Right. So. And a lot of people lost that along the way.
I think so.
A little too seriously. We're going to take a break for 90 seconds and then come back and talk some more about collaboration and take your phone calls. I'm Christopher Purdy. This is All Sides Weekend, the Arts.
Ready to roll? My name is Steve Martin. I'll be out here in just a moment, and we're going to start. We'll be starting in just a few moments, just waiting for the drugs to take effect, and then...
Steve Martin's early stand-up routines, his TV specials, and other TV appearances are now collected in a new DVD box set. We'll feature an interview with Steve Martin on the next Fresh Air.
And Fresh Air begins in 20 minutes. It starts at noon on 89.7 NPR News. Partly cloudy skies today, a high of 70. Partly cloudy for tonight, a low of 47. Sunshine and a high of 70 on Saturday. And more sunshine with a high of 67 on Sunday. Support for 89.7 comes from Ohio State's John Glenn School of Public Affairs, offering continuing education and graduate degree programs designed for the working professional. More details about the programs and upcoming information sessions are online at glenn.osu.edu. And support for 89.7 comes from Home Instead Senior Care, providing non-medical home health care to seniors in Central Ohio for over 16 years. More at homeinstead.com or 1-800-4-SENIORS. Home Instead Senior Care. To us, it's personal. And All Sides Weekend continues on 89.7 NPR News.
Thank you, our producer, Amy Jurevich. Before we continue our conversation with our three arts leaders, the choreographer, Bebe Miller, has a new presentation currently at the at Mershon, at the Wexner Center. And I spent some time with her last week because you all know what I say. I missed process, what I mean. I miss seeing the process, the rehearsal of putting something together. So I went to see her rehearsal the other day, and I got a little bit of a conversation with choreographer Bebe Miller.
Sometimes we think of dancing like, oh, they're beautiful, they're moving in time, it's good, they did a lift, blah, 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 blah. But there is also an aggregate implied narrative in a way. It's like when you see someone expend so much energy and then release, something has happened, the story of that has happened. So
the release, the story of the release, or the story of the change in energy?
The change of energy means it's coming from, going from some place to another place.
Okay.
The essence of story, what has happened. So I feel like my job is just kind of translating that, and then what? And what happened? Oh, they resolved. Yes. We recognize that meter, that syntax from all kinds of stories.
This piece that she's working on is called A History. That was Bebe Miller, the dancer choreographer who's in residence now at Ohio State. She has a long Ohio State connection. She's a graduate from about 25 years ago. She won't mind my saying that because I'm her age, so it's okay. But in watching the rehearsal, she had two dancers and screens. It was a multimedia presentation and rehearsal. And she was talking about not only the story being told in the movement of the dancers, but when they stop as well. Everything about the experience is part of the story. A History is the name of the piece. You can see it through the weekend at the Wexner Center. My thanks to Bebe Miller for giving me the time and allowing me to come and watch her process, her rehearsal. And I'll probably sneak into all of you at some point. I have. Pretty ear snuck into all of you. When somebody goes to Opera Columbus or the Gay Men's Chorus concerts or Pro Musica in the beautiful Southern Theater or wherever you happen to be, you look at the stage and you enjoy what's going on, and you see probably a quarter, 25% of what your organizations do, actually. Mm-hmm. So I want to sort of go around the room and make sure everybody listening understands that Pro Musica and Opera and the Gay Men's Chorus do a significant amount of outreach that doesn't get in the newspapers or on the radio. So, Janet, can you feel what kind of activities go on?
A lot. And you're absolutely right that, the days that we aren't rehearsing and we aren't in the hall, we're in the schools and we're out in the community. And it is a nonstop job. It's one way to survive and one way to, further our craft. So we have a plethora of programs that we offer, and we really range from serving, at-risk and disadvantaged children all the way to senior citizens. Every concert that we do at the Southern Theater, we open one working rehearsal free of charge to senior citizens in the community. So we have buses that come in from retirement homes, and actually a lot of individuals who can't drive at night to come free of charge. And again, like you said, you sneak in and you see a process.
Right.
You know, it's really just watching music being created. And we also work with about 20 local high schools, which has grown exponentially over the last 5-8 years.
How welcoming are they?
Oh, just open arms,
okay.
Open arms. And we certainly understand the challenges within the school systems, and we're not there to compete with their programs. We're there to offer assistance and help as needed. So this particular program is called Musicians in the Schools. And like I said, we have 20 partner high schools, and we work one-on-one with the teachers. We ask them what their needs are. Some teachers may be preparing for, Allstate or a competition. Some teachers just may want a musician to talk about what it's like to be practicing, all these hours during the day and what that career is like. So we really tailor it. It's not a set curriculum that says this is what we're going to do and, do it or, die. So that, I think, has really been a really winning formula. And out of that program, which has been going on for 10, 12 years now, we've now established what we called side-by-side concerts. We have two a season. And we invite teachers to select, their top students to perform with the musicians on stage at the Southern Theater. So we do one in December.
You mean literally side by side?
Literally side by side. So we do one in December for our sing-along, and then another one in April for our subscription concert. And, you know, we don't do it so the the students sit in the back and the musicians on the front. They're really integrated. So, again, you know, finding ways to bring these experiences to students, and we hope in return they'll be back. And actually, we know that some of these students that have gone from the MIS Musicians in Schools program, they've gone on to college. Actually, 2 years ago, we had national auditions, and one of the students came back and auditioned, and she's now a member of the orchestra.
Oh, that's
so
great.
Kind of just thinking about that cycle and what we can do, every little bit we can do from an education perspective, I think would only be the betterment of our organization.
And Tim, I know you're a professional working practical musician, conducting and arranging and singing, and I'll bet there are some professional musicians in the chorus, although I think the purpose of it is to really catch a wide community net. But still, I know some of your guys are out there in the community teaching and working as well and doing that kind of creative work.
Absolutely. We have there are some music professionals in the chorus as well who teach on a daily basis. So I think that's which is a great thing. We're working with the Boys and Girls Clubs again this year. We did two little programs with them. We went to a couple centers and sang for them, and they're great. We had a great time. We invite them to come to a rehearsal so they can sit in on that as well.
Have we turned a corner in terms of social acceptance?
I think so.
Okay.
The first time...
Because you mentioned Boys and Girls Clubs.
Right.
You mentioned
with the Children's Choir, the Columbus Children's
Choir. Yeah, I know. That's been a good collaboration.
That's a great thing.
Yeah.
And it's like it's almost like a no-brainer anymore. It's just, you know, it's just two great arts organizations getting together, is great. A big outreach group is our Illuminati group. They are a sacred ensemble. They go out to churches. They're actually singing in a church in Chillicothe on Sunday morning. So they go out at one church every month. And just to spread our message, because so many times we have people coming to us and we're really working hard to come to them because then we can kind of maybe draw them back to us. So we do as much as we can to get out into the community and go to the people. That's one of the things I'm really working on as artistic director, just to get out there.
Sounds like it's working.
It is.
Congratulations.
Yeah,
good
you.
For you. And Peggy Dye, I know Opera Columbus commissions new operas for younger people and some important themes. I know there was one about bullying. Can you talk about those operas and those?
Yes. Our program is Opera Goes to School, and we offer two children's operas and an improv opera. And the music is from traditional opera, but the words are in English, and the stories are familiar to the kids. John Davies is the arranger that we've been using. So we have Three Billy Goats Gruff and Jack and the Beanstalk. And we go to the schools, and the music teacher or the teacher there will prepare a 30-person chorus of their students if they choose. They can choose not to have a chorus. And I actually will go into the schools twice before the dress rehearsal and stage the students and talk about opera and give them kind of opera in a nutshell. And then the singers come and we do a dress rehearsal and a performance for either parents or the student body. So it's a lot of fun to see the kids get on stage, interact right next to a tenor singing a high C and their reaction. And the stories are funny. You know, it's fun to see that even children, they get it. They get opera. It doesn't have to be something that's unreachable.
Okay, here's the elephant in the room question. Why should little kids care about opera? What are they going to get from that?
It's awesome. It's story set to music. It's costumes. It's drama at its most heightened state. I mean, opera singing is on the edge of shouting, quite honestly. Tell me that's not great for kids. It's controlled shouting. Actually, Renee Fleming said that. So, it's a day. An opera usually is the most amazing day of someone's life, whether it be their wedding or someone dying or something. So it's heightened drama, which is great for kids.
Well, what I generally hear from people is I had no idea.
Yes.
That's what they say. That's true for anything that any of you do. I mean, people go to concerts at ProMusica and the Symphony. I hear that at the Columbus Symphony a lot. Afterwards, people will come up to me and say, I had no idea that this was what it was and that it's here.
Right.
So if you try it once, it's like I didn't like mushrooms when I was a little kid, but I love them now. You know, I like tuna casserole, which I won't eat now, but I'm just telling you that expensive mushrooms in this town at the opera, at the symphony, in the choirs, and at Pro Musica. We have an email from Heidi who says, not to detract from live music, but I wonder if any of you have seen any of the Metropolitan Opera Productions or other local movie theaters via Fathom Events, which is the live performances of the Metropolitan Opera that are beamed live as they happen into movie theaters around the world on Saturday afternoons. Yes, I've seen them, and they are fantastic. Yes, they are a great point of entry, but they are not the same as being there.
Right, exactly. It is true. What's
the difference?
I saw Peter Grimes, and I loved it. I love the close-up. I love the fact that it's infiltrating society, opera, in this way. They can go to the movie theater and watch opera. It is not live performance. The interaction of what happens spontaneously on stage, and you're getting to see part of it. Mm-hmm. The Met broadcasts often zoom in, so you're not getting the whole picture that the director expects you to get. And so you really need to come to the theater as well.
And there was one baritone that had a hell of a rash. It was awful. and I don't know what that was about. And one
it's
of the
not
things,
meant to be seen no, close up.
And one of the things that they do is they leave the cameras on when the sets are being changed in the intermissions, and you see all the stagehands, and you know that somewhere on a bulletin board they had a big notice saying "Don't curse" because it happened once, and the whole world, it was kind of not wonderful because the whole world laughed at the same time. You know, it's just great. You know? Yeah, and you're sort of waiting for the next guy because these are big, sweaty guys throwing around tonnage of sets. You know, and they have like 10 minutes to do it. So to answer your question, Heidi, yes, those are wonderful presentations, and they start up again in a few weeks. You can find more information on the Metropolitan Opera's website. Thank you for that. Last minute calls, 292-8513. If you want to call, 614 area, our email address at allsides@wosu.org. I am of the opinion that the future for the arts is getting brighter. That's just my opinion. Even we're not out of the woods yet, I think, in terms of our economy, but I'm just getting a sense. First of all, In this town, there's so much going on. People have not been deterred from putting on art.
No,
that's right.
No,
yeah,
we continue to take risks and continue to think outside the box. And I think that's with the economic challenges. It's really kind of forced
all of us to
do that. Again, it really heightens the need and need for collaborations. But out of that, I think we've all realized this makes a lot of sense.
That's right. I agree.
Which, you know, good stuff comes out of rough times in many instances. So
there's so many things you can do in a collaboration that you can't do separately. So I think that's another great reason to come together.
And Peggy Dye, what you have La Boheme coming up, Puccini's opera La Boheme, which you know that opera even if you don't think you know it. You do know
it's true.
She has a little muff, she coughs a lot, and she dies at the end, and everybody cries. And I have seen Marines cry at the end of La Boheme. I mean, you have to.
Mm-hmm.
So, but you are doing it in English in a shortened version with a new script, and you're doing it in a bar.
Opera in an hour in a bar with a cocktail in English, and it's free.
If you tried to do this in New York or L.A. or San Francisco, do you think you'd get attitude from people?
I think maybe. I can tell you it is happening in L.A. and New York, and it's happening in Toronto, and it's happening all over the U.S. Philadelphia, with companies that realize opera needs to evolve, and we need to include everyone. That's why this is happening. I think it's the right thing to do, and it's entertaining. It's fantastic, and you don't sacrifice the music.
La Boheme was written and first performed well over 100 years ago, and it's still still much, much loved. So obviously, it has staying power the way it is. But I think if Puccini, the composer, were alive today, he'd be telling you to go ahead and
do it.
He'd be thrilled. These were business people and men of the theater, and they wanted fannies in seats. Or in the bar.
Well, any way to get their music out in any way.
Right, any way to get their music out. It's important to do that. Do you have any other ideas coming up for accessibility and about?
Oh, lots of ideas.
Yes,
oh,
yes.
And whether it be new commissions we're considering. Of course, we want to, I think the big hits of opera are what we're looking at right now because there's a reason they're big hits.
Right.
So we think that will probably be the most appealing to this new audience.
Well, I look forward to that. That's terrific. Good. I'm going to be on stage with you. Look for the fat, bald guy.
You could have been El Chindoro, maybe.
Maybe El Chindoro. Yeah, that would be good for me. Yeah, nasty old man. Janet Chen, do you have any commissions in the works?
We do. After the two that will be premiering this year. We have one coming up the following season with Kevin Putz. He is a Pulitzer Prize winning composer.
Very much in the news lately.
Yes, yes. He's fantastic. And we're actually doing a consortium with other chamber orchestras in the country, so including St. Paul and San Francisco. And that's another way, you know, kind of getting our name out to mm-hmm. other orchestras around the nation and getting Columbus promoted. So that will be in 13, 14. And that will be featuring the Moreau String Quartet, who have also been to Columbus before. Mm-hmm. So that's in the works. And, you know, commissions take a while for us. Sometimes it takes composers 2, 3, 5 years to write. Mm-hmm. So we're always thinking ahead in that regard.
How about the Messiah sing-along? Do you still do that?
We do. We do. It will be in December, and it usually sells out, which is great. So if you just bring your you know, Messiah score and come join us. And that is actually where the high school students join us on stage. And we have local orchestra and choir directors that come and actually rotate conducting. So it's really a true community event and lots of fun.
I have to second that because I've been in the audience for that with my score a couple of times. And it's great. And it's a great way to meet people because mm-hmm. you're all trying to accomplish the same thing at
exactly.
the same time.
Yeah.
And you can glare at somebody who's out of tune.
Or right.
They can glare at you. Yeah. But it's truly a community event.
And
in
it's
the best
fun.
And it's fun
it's
in the best
fun.
Sense of the word.
Yes.
Why don't you guys do a sing-along or something like that, some different kind of piece, maybe a Verdi Requiem?
Well, we just came back from Denver with the Gala Courses Festival.
What
and
what
the
is
New
that?
York,
tell me what that is.
Gala Courses is the Gay and Lesbian Alliance of Courses. There were over 200 groups there. We were there for 6,000 delegates. We were there for 4.5 days. And the New York City Gay Men's Chorus did this thing called the Big Gay Sing, which I think is a great
that.
Idea.
Oh, that's fun. I love that.
So it had a PowerPoint or some kind of words projected on so people could sing along. And it was just a great old time. So I'll be thinking about that maybe for the future.
Okay.
Just to get something.
I think we should all do a flash mob.
A flash mob?
I think that's
a great idea.
Yeah.
We could do it on the Oval at Ohio State. Yeah,
yeah.
Perfectly well.
We
have 2 minutes left. Peggy Dye, one more time. Sell me La Boheme.
Okay, La Boheme starts 2 weeks from Sunday, Shadowbox Live on Front Street, 5 p.m., free opera in an hour in English.
Terrific. Tim Sarsony, sell me in what's going on now. Not with the ballet because it's sold out. Or it's
almost
hard
sold
to
out.
Get at to, right?
We're starting our program with Joy in December 7th, 8th, and 9th at King Avenue United Methodist Church. Get your tickets early. It sells out every year. Great variety of music from around the world.
And Janet Chen?
Also October 14th, the 2 hours after Opera Columbus at the Southern Theater, opening night. Clarice Assad's new work for two guitars and chamber orchestra, and just a wonderful season we have planned.
And somebody with a lot of foresight will have a hot dog wagon halfway between the two places
right.
at Shadowbox, and they're neighbors anyway,
yeah.
and you can pick up a little nosh on the way
sure.
To the concert. Mm-hmm. I thank you, Janet Chen, Executive Director
thank
of
you.
Pro Musica Chamber Orchestra, Tim Sarsony, Music Director
thank
of
you.
Opera Columbus, Peggy Criadi, soprano, and lots of titles with Opera Columbus. She is making it happen here. The All Sides staff includes Associate Producer Amy Jurevich, All Sides Assistant Producer Corrine Gleckler, All Sides Production Assistants Katie Higgins and Leticia Wiggins, who was here for us today, Volunteer Rose Joe, and video production by Rich and Amber Karsmitsky. This is listener-supported WOSU 89.7 and WOSU HD1 and streaming on the web at WOSU.org, a service of WOSU Public Media.